Welcome to the Going Merry podcast, the ultimate One Piece podcast on the internet. I am one of your co-hosts, Derek, and my two co-hosts that I have with me today are Amanda and Whitney, as always. Amanda, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am peachy. Whitney, how are you today?
I'm so angry I can't even fart.
That was the perfect line that we all needed to hear to start off this podcast.
I just thought you all needed to know.
Now I'm going to have to figure out exactly what I'm going to call these episodes. I got to find something stupid. We'll figure it out. We'll just see where this goes, okay? Speaking of where it goes, Whitney, what did you think of these episodes?
I think out of the different sets of episodes that we've watched, this was the most cohesive for us, like where we chose to watch five at a time. Mm-hmm. It was one story the whole time.
It was. Skipped.
Yeah. And that's, I really like that because it helped, I guess, my attention span better. And I'm not complaining about the format of the show. I guess just where it stuck with one story and the same characters and not a whole lot of new ones were introduced, at least major ones. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of nice. And you know, and it's still going. I mean, the last episode from this set was, you know, it's not finished.
Yeah.
So far. So I'm looking forward to see how much further it goes. And I'm starting to theorize in my head because I'm not sure if we're just going to stick with this trio or if we're going to keep adding people to the crew. I'm kind of eyeing a person that I think might end up joining. I could be totally wrong, but
Now you got me curious.
So we know that Zoro's sticking around, it looks like, for a while. Mm-hmm. At least I hope so. And, you know, Nami's kind of wishy-washy. She's back and forth. All she cares about is the treasure. She's really greedy. But I feel like she's going to be sticking around for a while just because it seems to be where it's headed. But I'm also wondering if Usopp's whole backstory with his dad being a pirate and him pretending to be a pirate, and now he's actually getting to something important, if they might sandwich him in there somewhere. That could be totally wrong, but I feel like he would, I don't know if he would make a good addition. I haven't made up my mind if I like him or not. I like him than I did last episode that we did. I wasn't his biggest fan, but this time he kind of redeemed himself a little bit, which we'll talk about, but
Okay. Amanda, what did you think of these episodes?
I agree. I think similarly, my attention was held pretty well for this set because it was all, again, the same kind of story that was continuing. So I did enjoy that. And then Usopp, I felt bad for him during this stretch. Like, similarly last time, I didn't really have any feelings on him before, but I felt bad for him this time, and he was doing some things that were pretty brave towards the end. I think I was kind of thinking along the same lines as well, that he might join the crew. I'm not sure in what capacity he would be helpful, but it seems like he's getting along with the group relatively well, and they seem like they volunteered to stay and help him, so that was good.
Those are interesting thoughts for sure. I like that you guys are on the same page. in a lot of the places that the show goes, a majority of the time, they are going to be in one place like this. Like these first few places that we've been kind of all over the place, where we're here a couple episodes and then we're here a couple episodes and stuff like that. It is pretty uncommon for this show, honestly. Like, usually we're going to be at places for a decent amount of time. I think the next few were at places like a longer amount of time. Like, sure, in our sets of five episodes, we are going to switch places, you know, every once in a while, but I think the rest of these going into the episode 45, a majority of them we're probably going to spend the entire five at the same place, like we did on this specific one. Like, there's not a lot of place changes after this going through episode 45. So yeah, do you guys want to just jump in right to episode 11?
Let's jump in.
Okay, let's do it. Usopp is figuring out the story of the boy who cried wolf. Captain Kuro, also known as Klahador, called it that nobody would believe Usopp, and it is proving true. Zoro and Nami follow the kids to the beach to find that Luffy had fallen off the cliff. Usopp runs to Kaya to explain the situation to her, but even she doesn't believe Usopp. Usopp tells the Straw Hats that he's going to take out Captain Kuro and his crew all by himself. The Straw Hats decide that they're going to join the fight as well and help Usopp defend his village. So there wasn't a ton that happened in this episode. Like it was more, I guess, like dialogue in these than anything. Like as far as scenery changes and stuff like that, there just wasn't much. It was more Usopp trying to convince everyone that everything he was saying was true. And it, you know, nobody believed him. Like it honestly is the perfect, animation, I guess, for the story that we were all told as kids, the, you know, the boy who cried wolf. Like it really is the perfect example. So Amanda, what are your thoughts on this initial episode here?
Yeah, I suppose I had some notes and they don't really say a whole lot. So I mean, I kind of agree. It was more exposition, I guess, just trying mm-hmm. to set things up for the next few episodes. I
had
a bit more things going on. Did the other butler, was he a new character in this one? I don't remember seeing
him. I think he was.
Okay. Mary, because I also didn't realize what his name was until later on, but I call him the teddy bear goat butler because I don't know what species he is.
Yes, I'm so glad someone else said that.
Yes,
like he has little horns, but then he also looks fuzzy, so I was like, I don't know what's happening there.
I didn't notice that until toward the end. I was like, wait, he's got horns. Like I don't know why, like for some reason when I had him in my head he just had like very fuzzy white hair, you know. I didn't really pay attention to much above that. Whitney, would you have any thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it now, I watched it a couple days ago and I had forgotten that not a lot of action happens here. I guess the most action that we saw was Usopp trying to convince Kaya to leave with him, and that Klahador was, you know, trying to kill her. Mm-hmm. Some of the funniest things that I noticed, we talked about Mary and his weird hair, and my note said they're being chased by a guy in a George Washington hairdo with a musket. And I said, are those snail shells on his head? And I feel like maybe it was the second episode we watched, episode 12, they showed an actual sheep and it looked mm-hmm. exactly like the sheep's horns. And I was like, oh, okay. Like that made total sense.
This will work. Yeah.
Either way, it was a strange hairdo. It kind of reminded me of that one guy from one of the previous episodes that was fuzzy. Was it the monster?
Moji. Moji the beast tamer, I think.
Tiger or lion.
Lion, yeah.
So it kind of reminded me of that. Just the whole, like, the aesthetic of and the appearance of these characters cracked me up. Because, you know, we saw the clown pirate and we're getting ready to see Captain Kuro's, you know, crew of, I can't remember what they're called. Are they the Black Cats?
Or yeah, the Black Cat Pirates, because they're all cat themed.
They all have little telltale parts of their makeup and their accessories, I guess. Let's see. The little baby pirates, they're okay. I mean, sometimes they laugh. Sometimes they're just so extreme and annoying, but I guess that's children in general.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who has a child. Yes.
I can't even remember what their names are. Let's see. There's Carrot, Onion, and I don't remember the third one.
Carrot and Onion are the only two I remember. And it really confused me towards the end when Usopp lied to them and he was like, oh, you know, that's just me lying again. And they laugh and they're like, oh, I get it. I get the joke. And then they get mad at him and leave. I didn't understand like why they did that.
Yeah, because they lose all respect for him for... Because I guess the way that they were looking at it was all the times that he's lied, like, you know, lying to Kaya about all of his adventures and stuff like that, and lying to the townspeople, like, all of his lies that they've been around, they've never been at the expense of anybody. They've never hurt anybody. You know, if anything, like Kaya, they've made someone's day better or whatever. And this was the first time, you know, him apparently lying about Captain Kuro was the first time they had seen where they're like, really, you're going to lie to ruin someone else, to hurt someone else? That's low. You know, so it's like a switch. That was the way I kind of understood it.
That makes sense to me.
Which honestly, it's kind of funny to me that that little kids that age like understood that part of it, because I mean they can't be older than like 6, but who knows?
Bit of a stretch.
They're probably like 18 or something like that.
I know. You know, with the ages that we've been able to decipher here, I wouldn't be surprised if they were. How do you guys feel about Kaya?
She's a little bit of a wet noodle. I have several notes on her as we go throughout. In this one, I wrote that she has Stockholm syndrome. She just seems like way too into Clahador. And I also want to know, I'm kind of curious, like what her backstory is a little bit. Like who were her parents? I mean, she's clearly got an inheritance, but she's got like FBI running out of her house with guns to attack
Lisa. Yes.
So I'm like, why were they there? Why does she have armed guards in her house?
I don't know. Wet noodle's a perfect explanation for her character, I guess. I hate the music that plays when she's on screen. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's that really high-pitched, like, bells tinkling. Like, it almost sounds like a Minecraft, like when you're playing Minecraft for anybody that plays, and it plays that very soothing, but it's worse. Because I don't mind the Minecraft too much, but I'm just like, she's always staring at whatever character is talking to her, and her eyes start shaking.
Yeah.
She has tears in her eyes, and I'm like, what is her problem? And is she, like, chronically ill? Was that established before?
I don't...
because she's always so sickly, like she acts like she has a hard time walking.
So I don't think so, from what I understand, because I know somewhere in here I don't know what episode it is or something like that, but so I know somewhere in here they kind of go a little bit more in depth into it, that essentially after both her parents died, she has went into a deep depression that has made her sick, I guess. And so she like doesn't have much strength to move around, you know, or get out and do things anymore. And so that's why Usopp has started lying to her and started telling all those stories, was to add some cheer to her life, knowing how upset she is about everything that's been going on. So as of right now, really the only people that she has that have been consistent in her life, because like they don't really talk about Mary much, but as far as we know, have been Usopp and Clahador. And honestly, we've found out now that both of them have been lying to her, you know, basically the whole time. So. Right. You know, that's what I kind of understand. It's more of a mental thing than it is physical, I think. But I think the mental toll has carried over so much into her physical health. That's the way I understand it.
Okay. I can see that. Because, like, if she was, you know, super depressed and she was dealing with grief and bedridden for a really long time, I can, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me. I just didn't look into it that far, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Kaya is not a big character. I mean... I know a lot of people really like her as a supporting character for Usopp and for Usopp's character, you know, like a lot of people, whenever they think about Usopp and his backstory, Kaya's the first person they mention. It's Usopp and Kaya, you know, so like those two pretty much go hand in hand for the most part as far as that goes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, she seemed a little bit soap opera-y. Like,
the, yeah.
I think, like, the her, just the way that the animation style is with her in particular, it seems a little bit, like, soft focus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the, like, 80s, like, soapy telenovela.
Like Dallas.
Yeah.
If anybody doesn't know what that is, just Google it. Probably too young.
It's gonna get a picture of Dallas Cowboys popping up. That's exactly what's gonna happen.
Dallas soap opera. I've been to that house.
I have too.
And it kind of looks like Kaya's house.
That's it. That's the key.
Strangely enough.
Yeah, I've been to that house as well. I was there a few years ago. It's a nice house. We had like a big event, like a party out in the barn or whatever. In the barn there. So yeah, it was fun. Interesting place for sure. But, and I've never seen the show, so like, it didn't mean as much to me as it probably would others. But
My mom was having a ball. There's the pool where he swam and he was so hot, and you know, 80s men.
Of course.
Mustaches.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Clint Eastwood.
Like the Tom Selleck.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Everybody loves Tom Selleck.
Google Tom Selleck if you are under the age of 35.
Hashtag mustache rides.
Woo! God. Don't
Google that. Unless you're 18 over.
Well, you know what? We're marked explicit now, so we're good.
Yeah, I bet it's hard for him to eat corn on the cob without getting it stuck in his mustache.
Well, we know how we all feel about eating corn on the cob off of someone's person.
You all take that just how you choose.
Tweet at us. How do you feel about eating corn off of someone?
From a can or fresh?
Yeah, fresh.
Take your pick. Or
loose or on the cob.
Son of a bitch. This is a discussion we were having pre-show, and I just knew it was going to carry over into the episode. I knew it, but also at the same time, I was kind of looking forward to it. Do we have any other comments before we move on to episode 12?
I had one funny thing that doesn't really have to do with the episode, but
okay.
I've been noticing that, so I have it's dubbed, the versions that I'm watching, mm-hmm. and I also have subtitles on because I'm a millennial and apparently that's what we do, is watch everything with subtitles. And so they haven't been matching up exactly. It's like, it's not enough to mess anything up plot-wise, but this one in particular was really funny because it said, this is from Usopp, I think what he is saying is, I'm not lying. And then the caption for that just says, damn it.
That's awesome.
Wait, that one. See, we did not address the giant goldfish in the room. Do you guys remember this?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. So I think it's a flashback to one of the first stories Usopp was telling Kaya at the window. And he's like, yeah, I fought a giant goldfish. And he says, what first astounded me was the immense size of its poop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? The, it just struck me funny.
Yeah, the goldfish poop.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't otherwise
think about that.
I'll go ahead and spoil this right now because it doesn't mean anything. A lot of people say that Usopp's lies all come true, and so at one point in the not so distant future, there is a giant fish that they meet and it poops out like an island, basically.
Oh my god, no way.
And
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, which I disagree that all of his lies come true, because one, he tells so many, and two, most of them are freaking stupid. But but yeah, so like certain ones like that, they do like little callbacks to and stuff, so that's kind of funny. Yeah, now you're just like starting to think about all of his lies and how they can possibly come true. Okay, and then Amanda, did you have anything before we move on to 12?
I am good.
Okay, well, let's get going. Captain Kuro returns to the house and reveals to Mary that everything Usopp said is true. The butler is killed by Kuro before he can do anything about it. As the Straw Hats prepare to defend the shore, they realize they are waiting at the wrong beach. Outside of Zoro, who fell victim to Usopp's trap, the Straw Hats and Usopp head for the other shore. Luffy went the wrong way, and Zoro is still having issues with the trap, which leaves Nami and Usopp to arrive first. They then realize that the only two that can fight are the only two that aren't there. Usopp and Nami get taken out quick, only for Luffy and Zoro to finally show up and stop the band of pirates in their tracks. So a little bit more happened in this episode. So quick thoughts, Whitney, go.
Well, we started out with the thing that was annoying me most about Clawhador / Kuro that we know now, the glasses. Kaya was so fucking annoyed with him pushing his glasses up with the heel of his hand that she bought him new ones. And yes, this kind of gives the little hint, the first hint as to why he did it. They fully explain it later, but you know, it gives the hint of why he does this, because he wears these crazy claw swords, I guess, on his fingers, and
completely unrealistic. Yes.
Right. It was so, like, when they show them later on, they're so long. They're like probably the same height as me, which I know he's tall. He looks tall when it pans out to see his full body, but like, you know, it's, yes, unrealistic. And it's like Wolverine-esque, except it doesn't come out of his body. He's like wearing them.
They're like Freddy Krueger gloves.
Freddy Krueger, that's an even better one, because they're on every finger. And so you can see when he pushes up with his heel, it's because he's not stabbing himself in the face. And he's so used to wearing those gloves, you know, he's gotten in that habit. And so that really was a big payoff for me. I was like, oh, I got so excited, because I was like, explains it.
I get it now.
Yeah. And of course, I love seeing, is it Jongo?
Yeah.
The hypnotist. I love that guy. I know he's kind of mean, but his Michael Jackson-esque, the dance moves, the appearance of him, I love it all. We get to see the Black Cat Pirates, and, you know, I mentioned them before, but they all have the little black ears and the eyeliner with the cat eyes, and I really like that too.
A lot of them have like whiskers painted on and stuff too, I think.
And they're all a little bit different from each other. It's not like they're carbon copies of each other. They've all got the ears and the eyeliner, I think, as far as I noticed, but they all have a little different take on it, which is cool. Nami is getting on my nerves. Like, I know before I watched this show, you know, my daughter kind of had a little bit of a knowledge about it. She had not watched it, but kind of knew adjacent information about it. And she was like, I'm pretty sure the redheaded girl is just like super greedy. Like all she cares about is money. And I was like, well, I don't know yet. I'm starting to see that come out, Nami, because it's all about the treasure. Don't even look at my treasure. Do it for the treasure. And then she, I can't remember what she does to Zoro in this episode, but she makes it to where
he gets onto the grease hill.
Yeah. Like the slope they had, you know, slicked down with oil, and it wasn't even the right slope, turns out. The last thing was, I've never related to people as much as I have in this episode. There's one, I can't remember who it is, but the captain, or somebody says, Captain, come look at this. And he goes, oh no, is it bad? I don't know about you guys, but if I'm at work and somebody's like, I need to see you, my first thought is, oh God. You know,
yes. What have I done? Oh, I'd do that too. Absolutely.
Luffy getting lost cracked me up because he's going north. He's telling himself to go north. I don't fucking know which way north is. You know, there's a meme about it. It's like the GPS says head north. I have no idea what you're talking about. Or if somebody gives you directions, go north. Like, I don't understand that. Do I turn left or right? Tell me which direction to go. So him getting lost was pretty funny to me, but also worrisome because I feel like they really needed his help.
Yes. Yes. And Zoro, they really did.
Yeah.
Well, that was Nami's fault that Zoro got stuck down there. That was absolutely on her, for sure.
Yes, fuck Nami. Sorry.
Yeah, Nami is very frustrating at times. Like, don't get me wrong, like, especially early, but, you know, she definitely is one of the more growing characters in this show, I think. Like, she grows a lot, and a lot of the crew members do. You know, all of them have growth, but... But Nami definitely, you know, is completely different than she is right now. So, I mean, I know whenever they get to the other shore, finally, whenever Zoro and Luffy get to the other shore, finally, they dispatch the rest of the pirates pretty quick. Like, if I remember right, I think it's like a quick sword slash from Zoro and then a quick punch from Luffy, and like basically all of them are pushed back down the hill. But I don't remember much else happening toward the end of this episode. Like, I'm trying to remember some of the dialogue and stuff, but so because of my busy weekend, it's been over a week since I've watched these episodes. So it's a little bit fuzzy to me. But did you guys have anything else on these episodes?
I think the only thing that we didn't really talk about so mm-hmm. far was Mary getting absolutely slashed to death.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Almost death, I guess. He really...
He should have died. He was,
that poor man, sheep bear thing. I was amused at him in the beginning because he was like cleaning a chandelier or something, and Clahador was asking him about the glasses, and then he stomps on the glasses and Mary just gives this gasp, like
very dramatic, and,
you know, like looks into the camera. It was very comical.
Clahador's shoes, oh my gosh, those things are just those things are so weird
big.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you know what they say about big feet, right?
Big socks.
It's hard. There you go.
Or
yeah,
hands.
That's a good answer.
Which would explain the... I said or hands, which would explain the sword fingers.
Oh.
Or a penis.
No. You just wanted to say penis.
No, I swear. It just slipped out. What? You don't want me to put it? Damn it.
I just figured you were going to say that's what she said.
No, that's not where I was going. It should be.
All right, let's rewind it back.
But like right after he kills Mary, he goes up to see Kaya when she's sleeping, and he's like holding these bloody like dagger finger knife things over Kaya, and it's like, man, this guy is like ominous. Like, honestly, and you know, in my opinion, he's much, much darker than any of the other villains we've seen so far, between, you know, Alvida, Captain Morgan, Buggy, or any of the other goons that are there as well. Like, Clahador is just something different.
I would agree with that. He, especially across these five episodes, you can see he's kind of a psychopath. Like, he doesn't, like, he pretends like he's feeling something, and then he'll just, in the very next line, be like, and that's why I'm going to kill you and do something for myself. Like, he only has his own interests mm-hmm. in mind. Like, he doesn't care about his crew anymore. He doesn't care about Kaya, who he spent years with, or anyone else. It's all about him.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he is so normal, except for the gloves, is what kind of got me. Like, he didn't have the big round nose, and he wasn't Alvida yeah. or whatever her name was. He didn't have the thing in his arm. It was just very normal turning, and sometimes that's scarier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, something that could be more realistic being that scary.
Yeah. Like, he gives off major serial killer vibes. Like, I mean, I guess technically, I guess he's a pirate, so he probably could be considered a serial killer, but whatever. Yeah. I mean, and I guess...
Have we seen anybody die? That's what I was thinking. I was like, who's died? Anyone? Because I thought Mary was dead.
I know. I did too. Until Kaya goes down and finds him, and I'm like... Why is he still alive?
No, it's been like 9 hours. He should have bled out by now.
I know.
Like, if you were good night's sleep, and he just was down there bleeding out.
He's just chilling.
He talks a lot too. He has like a long monologue, and he just keeps going on and on. I'm like, couldn't he just have? He could have just crawled to the phone. Then he was that okay.
The most eloquent deathbed speech you've ever heard.
I know. He was like, see, it all started when I was born.
Yeah. Mary, it's been 3 hours.
Let's see. I don't really have anything else for this episode. Do either one of you?
Nope.
There's just okay.
Build up action that's getting ready to happen. Yeah.
Exactly. I know there's definitely a lot that happens in these later episodes. So we're like slowly building up here. So, episode 13, Django hypnotizes his crew to make them think they are stronger. Luffy gets hypnotized as well and easily knocks the pirate crew back down the hill. Amidst tearing apart the ship, Luffy is again hypnotized and falls asleep under their ship's wreckage. Kaya finds the half-dead butler and realizes that Usopp was telling the truth. The Meowbon brothers emerge from the ship to take on Zoro. Amidst the quick initial skirmish, one of the brothers takes two of Zoro's swords and tosses them aside. Usopp tries to help Zoro against the brothers, but Zoro takes the hit from Usopp's slingshot, knowing at least all of the attention is on him. Nami tries to grab Zoro's other two swords, but she is taken out by Django. And up on the ridge, Captain Kuro has arrived at the scene. So, as we just kind of talked about, we're starting to get into more action now. And how many times has Luffy been hypnotized now? Three at least.
It's a lot. Probably the most out of anybody else.
Yeah, I think he's been hypnotized more than Django has hypnotized himself. And I don't think he did that at all in these episodes, which is kind of surprising.
I don't think, not till like the very end when they flash back to how Captain Kuro like started the plan, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
There was like a little hint of it, but other than that, they didn't really dwell on that.
Mm-mm. But I thought it was pretty interesting that Django hypnotized his own crew to kind of give them, to give them all a power up. And it was also interesting that it didn't matter.
Yeah,
because I mean it's Zoro and Luffy, but the Meowbon brothers, what were your thoughts, Amanda, on the Meowbon brothers?
First of all, what a ridiculous name. And then also, it took me a little while of watching them to figure out exactly what I thought they reminded me of, so now I've made up this backstory in my mind.
Wait to hear this.
Kuro found them at a club, and they are go-go dancers, and now they work for him.
I love it. Like, after you mentioned that, the first thing that popped into my head, which I thought you were going to refer to for some reason, is I think it was the movie Lady and the Tramp, and there's the Siamese cats that, mm-hmm. like...
We are Siamese. Yes. Please. Yeah, that could be it too. It's a little bit of both.
This just unlocked something in my brain. Like, I completely forgot about that. Wait, which one's more sinister?
No, offensive.
Oh.
The cats.
Yeah, the cats. The real, well, real air quotes. The Siamese cats, yeah. Can I say what they reminded me of?
Yes. Go for it, Amanda.
Amanda?
Yeah. Amanda again.
Me? Why? Why me?
No, again? That was me, man.
Fine. I guess we have to listen to Whitney talk.
It was just one little thing, and I'll let Amanda finish. I don't mean it. I'm going to be Kanye for a minute. Hold on. I just got excited because I've said this many times, and the only anime I've ever sat through almost all the way is Pokemon. These guys remind me of Team Rocket. You guys know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Jesse, James. It's like they had this whole intro where they talked about themselves for a minute, and they're very flashy. I don't know. That's what
surrender it's now be. Or prepare to fight.
Prepare for trouble. Make it double. Yes. And they even had the little Meowth. Was that the Pokemon that they had that could actually, the only one that could talk?
Yeah.
And they were the Meowbin brothers. I just found that kind of funny. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe that's where he got it from.
Maybe.
When did Pokemon start? I don't even know. Wasn't it like mid-90s?
It had to have been.
So this was probably a couple years after Pokemon started. Because I think this episode probably would have released in either 99 or 2000, something like that. I mean, I don't know when. I know the first episode came out in 99. I'm not sure when, when in 99 it came out. So this might have already been in the year 2000, but something like that.
This one said 97. I gave it a little goog.
Oh, you did?
Google.
So maybe
97.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay, so I was off.
Just thought it was a weird parallel.
Yeah, yeah. I like that parallel. That definitely makes sense. I thought it was pretty interesting that Zoro like actually was, I don't want to say having trouble, but he definitely was held back by only having his one sword compared to his other two. And I really liked what he did by like noticing that Usopp was going to try and step in and stepping in the way himself just to make sure that the Meowbon brothers, like their attention stayed on Zoro. Because I mean, honestly, yeah, if either one of them would have headed toward Usopp and Nami, it would not have gone well at all. Like they would not have been able to do much there. So I think it was good of Zoro to step in the way there. Whitney, any other thoughts on any of that?
I love the Meowbin brothers. I think they're fabulous. I think their fashion choices, I think it's Si, did they call him Siam? Is that how you pronounce it?
Probably.
Siam. Or Siam. Was it Siam?
Siam.
I think that's what it was.
Okay. But I really liked his style because it was like he had a giant hunched back and lime green hair and his eyelashes were long. He licked himself like a cat.
Yeah, because I had like the cat claws and
Yeah. Butchie just kind of looked to me like a kid that's running around the house with a sheet tied around him like a cape. You know, it's like a blanket. He was okay. But they had one of my favorite quotes of the whole set of five episodes.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you want it now or do you want to wait till the end?
We can do whatever you want to do. We can do it now if you want.
Okay. When they get ready to attack, they say together, Pussy Willow March.
I had that one too.
I love them. I love them. I know they're bad guys, but I love them.
Hey, you're allowed to like bad guys. Yeah. It's going to happen. There's a lot of bad guys that you're going to like. Yeah, and then Amanda, did you have any other thoughts on the Meowbon brothers?
No, they're ridiculous, but they're very funny.
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things in this episode, because there's not a ton to talk about in this episode, just because it really does, you know, it goes back to there's a lot of fighting in this episode, and it's hard to like review individual punches and stuff like that. But I think that Captain Kuro showing up at the end and just like standing there on the ridge, like overlooking everything, was again just a very ominous, like you felt the whole direction of the battle change just with him walking up. And like even us as viewers that haven't really seen him do much outside of, you know, cut up a sheep bear person thing, so we don't even know what he's capable of at this point. We just see him kind of show up, and it instantly makes a difference in everything that's going on.
Yeah, that was really interesting to me, because like you said, we hadn't really seen him do anything spectacular, but you could see how terrified everybody was when he mm-hmm. showed up. So I mean, we didn't get to see it this episode, but we, you know, kind of get the idea that he is something to be reckoned with. And I was trying to figure out how exactly, because I knew he could cut people, you know, with the finger blades, but mm-hmm. was there anything else special about him? And there was, but we didn't get to see it until the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amanda, anything to add on to that?
No, I was a little worried towards the end because Kaya decided to go after him. So, I mean, she ran out of the house in her nightdress, and I was like, what is this girl going to do when she gets there? Is she going to, you know, sneeze on him or something? I don't quite understand.
But... Germ warfare coming your way.
I'm going to give you COVID. Terrible. Really. And one thing else we forgot to talk about was, I mean, we kind of glanced over it with Luffy getting hypnotized, but him just like completely wreaking havoc on their ship. Like, I couldn't remember when he was, I knew when he was marching down there, I couldn't remember exactly what he was going to do, but like, he just passed them all up and just started tearing apart the boat. It's yeah, like,
he's just raging.
I guess he was just trying to prove how strong he was.
Yeah. There was one really cool trick he did. He did the Gum Gum Gatling.
Oh.
Which was like a whole bunch of punches at yeah. once. That was really cool. That was probably my favorite so far that he's done.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Because it caused a lot of damage. You know, it did a lot of good.
Yeah. Yeah, out. I get what you mean. For sure. And like, you know, it's good for large groups.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, do you have anything to add on any of Luffy's rampaging silly hypnotist spree thing?
No, I mean, he did at least, I was glad that he did get some destruction in there, because he is asleep for, I think, like 75% of this stretch.
So much. I see what you did there, sleeping. 75% of the stretch.
I didn't intend to, but I will take it.
Well, if nobody has anything else, we can go ahead and move on to episode 14.
Oh.
Okay. Frustrated by Kuro's absence over the past years, paired with his insults at his own crew, the Meowbon brothers attack Kuro. He quickly gets them in line, and they turn their sights back to Zoro. Amidst the distraction, Nami is able to get Zoro his other two swords. Finally having all three swords, Zoro quickly defeats the Meowbon brothers. Again, taking advantage of the distraction, Nami gets to Luffy to wake his ass up finally. Kaya shows up to try to stand up to Kuro, but to no avail. Usopp tries to step in, but Kuro pussyfoots to remind Usopp of his place in line. Before Kuro can take Usopp out, Luffy jumps in with a wicked right hook and lays Kuro out. So my favorite thing about this whole episode is honestly the what Jango calls the pussyfoot maneuver. Yes. I did not catch the Meowbon brothers attack that you were talking about earlier, but as soon as Jango said, "Oh no, it's the pussyfoot maneuver," I was like, "What the hell?"
That That was my favorite thing.
And it's just like a little toe tap. I was like, what are we?
It's like a river dance. But like, isn't that name so much better? The Pussyfoot Maneuver.
I know. I was like, all right, I get it.
So good.
And then, so this is the episode where we finally get like the visual image of Kuro raising his glasses too, with the claws actually on for the first time. And like Jango even goes into depth with it that he can tell Kuro hasn't lost his step at all just because of the way he still raises his glasses with the palm of his hand. And I keep sitting here and doing this motion for no damn reason. So whatever, I'm going to keep doing that for the rest of the day. Anything that either one of you wanted to talk about specifically in these episodes or in this episode? No.
Have anything? Jump in front of you.
I think the only thing, the only thing I had was Kaya was just irritating me a little bit because of she fell for the whole kind of sob story again that Clawhador was feeding her, and then
that was really unfortunate.
Took a gun at least with her on her little excursion, but he just took it away from her. So yeah. I mean, shoot the guy.
Didn't even use it.
Yep. Yeah, she fell for that very, very easily. And you would think after finding her other butler, you know, completely sliced up in the foyer, that she would be like, okay, this guy doesn't give a damn. Why in the name of hell would she try to reason with him or anything like that? So that doesn't really make any sense. And, you know, I mean, and Usopp tries to step in, but I mean, he's just, you know, Kuro has obviously already established himself, you know, miles ahead of Usopp. But it's still, it's ballsy of Usopp to step up like that against someone that he knows he's going to lose to.
Yeah, I think this is where I finally started to like Usopp a little bit better, because you could tell that he was trying to do the right thing and he was willing. I mean, he took a ass whooping big time. I mean, like, he can barely move and he's still, you know, giving some lip to Kuro, and he's trying to save Kaya, you know, telling her to go away and trying to get people to help and go, you know, the kids. I mean, he's just trying to do his very best. And, you know, that to me shows that he's not just some kid running around town trying to trick people anymore. He's actually trying to be a good guy, or a pirate, you know, if a pirate be a good guy, as we see that Luffy and them are. But my favorite part was probably the Zoro scenes.
Of course.
Nami finally gets his other swords to him and he kicks ass. Which,
yeah, he does.
Also, when Luffy finally woke up, Nami stepped on his face because he was asleep under the ship he had ripped apart.
Yes.
He wakes up and catches, Jango had thrown his hypnotizing ring, whatever that thing is, which was also a weapon because he cut the shit out of Nami's shoulder, I think. And he threw it, was going to hit her. She ducks at the last minute. And you see Luffy's head go back. And I'm like, oh, is he dead again? Is this a fake out? And it turns out he had caught it with his teeth and destroyed it. And I was like, oh, he destroyed it with his teeth. This is great. And then Jango pulls out like three more. And I'm like, shit. But that was really cool. At least he's back to raging. And this is, I think, where Luffy, to me, starts becoming less annoying child, more badass. I'm gonna kick your hind end. You know what I mean? Like, he's said before in previous episodes, I'm gonna kick your ass. Now he's actually doing it. Mm-hmm. He's woken up from his nap and he's gonna kick some ass. So
it's kind of cool. It's kind of funny because I saw something the other day. I think it was on Instagram, and it had like it had a picture of Zoro and a picture of Luffy next to each other, and like at the top of it, it said, "You should be scared when," and then like above Zoro, it said, "When he is smiling," and then above Luffy, and it said, "When he is not," because like And I don't know that we really saw it in this particular fight, but when Zoro gets going, like, he just gets this creepy smile on his face. And it's like, it's, you know, you like it, but it's like, okay, this guy is like feeling it. And then Luffy, it's like the exact opposite. When he stops smiling, you know, shit's about to get real. And like, yeah, after he gets that, that disc caught in his teeth, and he, it's kind of funny. Cause like he taps on his mouth and he's like,
yeah,
it's like, it reminded me of like going to the dentist or something like that, or, you know, or orthodontist and getting braces on, and then like tapping your teeth and like all of your gums just start screaming in pain.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what it felt like.
At first I was like, is he saying it hurt to destroy that with his teeth? But then I thought, because he doesn't even pay attention to the fact that he did that. He starts screaming at Nami for hitting him in the face.
Yes.
And I'm like, is he still on about that? Or does he think she threw that at him? Because she's like, it wasn't me. So I don't even know. He's kind of oblivious to what's going on because he just woke up. And like, I don't know. I just don't even think he noticed that much.
No, but I don't think he did either. I think he mentioned that she stepped on his eye. Like,
yeah,
I can't even imagine a heel going right into it to your eye. That would hurt.
No thanks.
So, like you kind of mentioned, Zoro takes out the Miyabon brothers very, very quickly after he gets those three swords, and Luffy next. You know, it's kind of his turn whenever Kuro decides to try to take out Usopp, and, you know, tossing that right hook all the way from the bottom of the hill to hit Kuro. And it's like, it was kind of funny seeing the look on everybody's faces, but I think that hit on Kuro was very satisfying, in my opinion, because like so far we've seen Kuro do most of the damage dealing. We haven't seen much of him getting it. Amanda, what were you thinking during this, like, as the episode was wrapping up here, this like quick scene with Luffy and Kuro?
I mean, I definitely agree that it was a satisfying hit to Kuro because I think we've only seen him as the recipient of attack when Usopp was trying to kind of go after him.
Which face it, that didn't do much.
Yeah, I mean, so that clearly wasn't very effective. I did have just one funny note about Luffy, because of course the first thing that he does when he wakes up is just scream bloody murder. Oh my God, he's screaming again. Okay.
Always screaming.
Of course. I'm surprised now that I'm thinking about it. Didn't he ask for something to eat as well, like when he first woke up? I feel like he did, but maybe I'm just misremembering that. It sounds like something he would do. We're just going to say he did. Whitney, what were your thoughts like as this is kind of setting up for the next episode being more of a Luffy v. Kuro, finally?
Yeah, well, I'm getting excited because we can see that Kuro actually has some talent when it comes to fighting. I mean, he's got his little pussy footing around.
I was just going
to
say, he's got his pussy feet.
Yeah, he's got his pussy feet. Shit. So he's got those going. He's got his claws. He's got his psychopathy, you know, his absence of feeling for or empathy for anyone else. And, you know, you can tell he doesn't care about his crew. All he wants is for them to do what he wants them to do to help his plan. So, you know, the Miyabon brothers being taken out, none of that matters to him right now. And Luffy is finally showing, like you said, he's not smiling anymore. He's angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was excited to see what he was going to do. And the next episode to me did not disappoint, but, it was nice to see him actually fighting and, you know, I guess being evenly matched to Kuro, because, you know, I love Zoro, but I think even he was going to have a hard time fighting him alone.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking about when I was watching these episodes too. I was kind of wondering what Zoro would be able to do against Kuro, because like with you know, a lot of, you know, and it's kind of obvious, we've already seen it. Zoro sees the guy with the swords and he's like, here, that's my guy. Like, yeah. You know, he's a sword fighter. He wants to fight the sword fighter. So it's like looking at Kuro and having all of those swords, you know, basically 10 swords on his hands. Like, I kind of wonder, I kind of want to see Kuro v Zoro a little bit, you know. I get Luffy's the captain and he's going to take out the, you know, the boss, but still, like, that definitely would have been an interesting fight for sure.
Well, and I thought for a minute when I think it was, you know, Kaya did not end up shooting him because he, you know, gave her some kind of sob story that he then turned right around like, and that's why I'm going to kill you because I suffered through years of your ridiculousness, which was really hurtful. And then I think, was it Usopp that grabbed the gun and shot at him?
Yeah.
And he, I wrote, he pussyfooted around that bullet. I mean, he can't even see him. So it's funny to me that with, in a world like this, where people have literal superpowers from eating devil fruit, there's still these other people that have what I would consider a superpower. Like, this guy's so fast. And it may just be that he's maneuvering really well, but I mean, to me, his power is just as cool as Luffy.
Yeah.
You know, and Zoro's skills are really cool as well. So, but, and I can't remember which episode it was in. Maybe you guys can remember when they realized Luffy can stretch and do these things.
That was in this episode.
The pirate crew is like, oh my gosh, he ate the devil fruit. And they get kind of afraid for a minute. And yeah, so I thought that was really a neat piece of lore, you know, because it's so rare. You know, a lot of people haven't even seen the devil fruit. That they were kind of in awe of that and a little scared just knowing that he'd done that.
Yeah, because I think Jongo mentioned it in this episode because he's like, I thought I saw him stretch a little bit, but I see now that I wasn't imagining things or whatever. Because, you know, before, like when Luffy was taking him out, like with his, you know, his gum, what was it, Gatling. Like, you know, he was moving so fast, you didn't really see it. But like on this hit to Kuro, Luffy's stretching his arm out like over 100 feet at this point. Like, it's obvious he can stretch. So I think that this episode was the first time that they really realized that they are fighting a devil fruit user. And I think Kuro realizes pretty quickly that Luffy is not just some random person that he's about to be going up against. But I did like one thing you mentioned about, you know, Kuro not caring about any of his crew, because that was one thing that I actually noticed that I meant to mention, was because he at the beginning of the episode, he gives his crew 5 minutes to wrap everything up, and I was like listening to him count down and I was like, holy shit, he might actually be like, I think that 5 minutes was pretty close to an actual 5 minutes of the episode. Like, you know, like you watch movies and stuff like that, and they're like, oh, we've got 5 minutes to defuse this bomb. And then 15 minutes later, like the bomb's still going or whatever. It's like it takes a half hour for 5 minutes to go by. And I was like, listening to him count down. I was like, you know, this might actually be pretty close to 5 minutes.
That's a good point. I didn't notice that. I mean, I noticed that he was counting down, but now that you say it, it probably was pretty close.
Yeah, it was just something.
Somebody could time it and let us know.
And see, I was thinking about doing that, but I was like, if they could time everything out, all of the lines, all of, you know, because like I'm sure like regular movies that they have certain scenes that they cut to, you know, to fit in it, to like fit in to the time frame that they have for these episodes. And so part of me wonders if it would be off a little bit just because they may have cut something or they may have added something or whatever. But I would bet it's probably pretty close to 5 minutes. But are both of you ready to move on to episode 15?
Yep. Yeah, sounds good.
Yep. Whitney, you're saying yes and nodding no.
Oh, I was scratching my nose.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
for you guys at home, just imagine.
Okay. Episode 15. Kuro rises and realizes that Luffy is no ordinary kid. Jago heads to take out Kaya on Kuro's order. The mini Usopp pirates take Kaya and run. Zoro takes the injured Usopp to follow after Jago and Kaya. All that remains is Luffy and Kuro. Both show off their speed, but Kuro is showing to be more of a match for Luffy than anyone we have seen thus far. A flashback shows Kuro putting together the plan for him to get out of the pirate business. To start the plan, Kuro takes out an entire ship full of Marines, except one. Jango hypnotizes one of his own crewmates to get him to impersonate Kuro, and the fake Kuro leaves with the lone Marine to fake the capture. So, in this episode, I mean, I kind of want to start at, well, I did want to start at the end, but you know what? Let's just start at the beginning with like Kuro and Luffy facing off here, because both of them start throwing punches, and they've both shown the ability to throw a quick punch and to dodge really fast too. So like they're kind of shown to be evenly matched there for a second, but Kuro kind of starts coming on top and he gets a couple good hits on Luffy. And I was thinking about it and I was like, is this the first time that we've seen Luffy actually like hit? And I know Buggy got a couple cheap shots in, but I think, you know, actually going toe to toe like this, I think it is the first time that Luffy's actually been hit. I mean, so what were you thinking whenever you were watching, you know, kind of this final, or I guess this showdown between these two, Whitney?
Well, like I mentioned earlier a little bit, this is kind of the first time I thought of him as being a badass, you know. And he was kind of, you know, Kuro was putting up a fight, which kind of took me by surprise, because you always think of Luffy as in the previous episodes as coming in as saving the day, right? Mm-hmm. With his powers. And this time he was still trying to save the day, but he was also taking a lot of hits. But mm-hmm. I think the pirates were laughing at something and he takes a rock and slams it down, knocks him out, and is like, "What's so funny?" And like he's screaming, angry. And I was like, wow, that's, you know, he's angry and he's done playing around mm-hmm. right now. That's what that said to me. I thought for sure Kuro was going to die at the beginning of this episode because he knocked out. And then the kids came in and started beating him with a shovel, I think.
Yes.
And I was like, there's no way he's surviving this, because he's just a human, right? I mean, he's not made of rubber.
No. Yeah. He's just a dude.
And yet again, up he goes and, you know, is fighting just as well as he did before. So,
yeah, I think his glasses are broke now and that's about it.
Yeah, he shoves him up with the heel of his hand one last time and the glass falls out.
Now that I think about it, I think it like shows the light reflecting off of his lenses later. And now that I'm thinking about it, his glass just fell out. Like, how would it be doing that? I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering things. Amanda, what were you thinking of kind of going into this episode?
I think, so I was interested to see how the fight was going to go. And then I was a little worried because I couldn't exactly remember, but I know that we talked about Luffy and how he is able to pretty much just bounce bullets and stuff off of him. But mm-hmm. did we talk about how, like, if he was cut with something that would affect his rubber power?
Yeah, we kind of did a little bit. Yeah, because we were kind of, we talked about that with Buggy with like the hard counter, because Buggy was impervious to swords and mm-hmm. but can be shot. Luffy is impervious to being shot, but he's weak against swords. So we were kind of talking about it there.
Okay, yeah, I think that's what I was thinking of. So I was getting a little concerned because he was getting cut. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they were both holding their own for a while. So it mm-hmm. lasted longer than some other fights that we've seen, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this one is the longest fight that we've really seen so far. Because, I mean, it started last episode and then it's carrying over through this episode as well. So I think that is the longest fight that we've had between Luffy and someone else already. And like at the point of this episode, you know, stopping, it's not really showing that they're going to slow down anytime soon. But I'm kind of jumping toward the end here, because I do want to talk about this flashback with Kuro. I mean, right off, you know, we get this flashback of him still like in his pirate days, because I think that his crew was talking about how, you know, they started calling him Captain Kuro and stuff and like cheering him on. And he was like, I'm trying to ditch that name. Like, don't call me that name. And so then it kind of goes back into this flashback of him being a pirate and being tired of being constantly chased and constantly having to look over his shoulder, essentially knowing that the Marines are looking all over for him. And anywhere he goes, he's constantly got someone that's calling the Marines on him or whatever. And so this flashback shows like him hatching this plan. Maybe it's just because like the first time I wasn't paying attention as much as I should have been. I kind of like it, there for a little bit, I like kind of had trouble following the plan just because they were explaining it so quickly without too much visual. I don't know that representation is the right word, but you get what I mean. Mm-hmm. Were did you both understand kind of what was going on in the flashback? Okay.
Yeah, the flashback actually helped me because I know that he had been talking about the plan and he had mentioned that he had a body double that was executed. And I just couldn't understand like what exactly or how the pirates were involved, like the crew was involved in all this. I was mm-hmm. like, did he just pretend? And then he was like, I'm going to kill myself. Or is that what he said?
I think something like that.
Out of the cabin, and I was like, what's he do? Is he actually going to make his crew think that? Because then how would they have become involved? And then when Jango pointed out that one crew member that looked vaguely similar mm-hmm. to Captain Kuro, I was like, okay, they're going to use a body double. And then for a minute, I forgot Jango could hypnotize people. And then when it
I did showed, too.
Yeah, I think that was my struggle with it. But then when it showed them hypnotizing the body double and the Marine that they left alive, I was like, oh, okay, well, this now makes sense to me. So I followed it at that point, but mm-hmm. it took me a minute.
Amanda, what were your thoughts kind of with this flashback?
That was the same thing. I was kind of confused and not sure where it was going. And then when it got to hypnotizing that other guy, I was like, oh, okay, now this is the way that he's going to get out of this. Mm-hmm. pirate life that he seems so irritated with now. Which did they ever say how long he had been doing that for?
I don't think they really did. Like, I can't imagine too terribly long, because one thing I noticed about Kuro is that supposedly he's this legendary pirate and everything, and not once was it mentioned that he went to the Grand Line and everything. Like, and that's where all of the, you know, all of the big pirates are at. And so I was kind of listening to see if they ever mentioned him even being closely related to the Grand Line. And they never did. And so part of me feels like the crew is hyping him up to be more than he actually was, just because of that. Like, you know, the Grand Line is where all of the pirates go. Like it essentially, if you're any sort of pirate at all, you need to be able to at least try the Grand Line. Cause if you don't, then you're not worth anything, honestly. Like as a pirate, like Luffy kind of says later, which I'll talk about that later, he doesn't have any ambition, you know? Right. So I do have one question for you that I'm curious if you caught it or not. The Marine that was hypnotized. Any ideas who that was? No? Okay.
The blonde guy?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Now is it somebody's dad that we've met already?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Wait, who?
Someone's dad. I don't know which dad.
Is it what was his name? The disco guy with the bowl cut.
El Meppo?
Yes. Was it his dad?
Yes. It was Captain Morgan from episode 2 with the axe hand. That was him.
He didn't have an axe hand then though, did he?
He did not in the flashback, but the reason you can he kind of looks like him a little bit, but the biggest thing is Kuro steps on him and smashes his jaw, and they even make a point to say that he's got a smashed jaw.
They did.
And if you notice in the episodes with him, he's got that massive iron brace on his jaw. And so, yeah, so it was Captain Morgan that was hypnotized and supposedly captured Captain Kuro. And so it's kind of funny to think about this Marine that had such a big head and treated everybody like shit and was so victorious and all this other bullshit, when actually his success, what got him his promotions and stuff, was a plot by Kuro to get rid of his own reputation. Like, Morgan didn't actually do anything. It was just part of Kuro's plan.
That's really funny.
So,
and really cool. I like that.
Yeah, I did too. When I first heard that, I was like, oh shit. Yeah. Like, yeah, when I first realized that was Morgan, I was like, okay, I really like that. Because they knew.
So how did you find that out? Did somebody tell you? Did you read it? Or is it something?
I read it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was paying attention on this watch through because this was the first time I had watched it through since learning that. So I was kind of learning to see if they ever used his name or if he ever said his name or anything. And he never did. But I was paying attention more, like his facial features and stuff like that. And like his look, I was like, oh yeah, that's definitely Morgan. Like, it did look like him, a lot like him. So yeah, I was like, yep, that's definitely Morgan, all right. But I don't really have anything else on this episode. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about in these episodes?
The only other thing I had a note on was mm-hmm. that Kuro just seems very impatient. Like, I was asking earlier how long he'd been a pirate, because he seems like he's very done with the whole thing.
Yes.
And then later on, he's saying, like, he's explaining the second part of his plan, which was to kill Kaya's parents and take her inheritance. And he's talking about, it's been such a long time, all 3 years that I've been going through this plan. I'm like, that's really not that long.
Right.
Like, he doesn't look that old, so I don't think that he, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess any time you have to spend time with a child is a long time.
Yeah, and then he tells, I forget who he says this to, but he's like, tell her to write her butler into her will.
Jongo, he said that.
She's gonna do that right there, like in the grass or wherever they are. Okay, I'm sure there's no attorney present. This is not going to be legit.
We are getting formal here.
Yes, no, it's definitely not going to be notarized. Unless Jongo is a notary.
Zoro's a notary. We're good. There's one present. Yeah, it's kind of funny that you mentioned it, because like they always talk about how Kuro is like the man of 1,000 plans and he's a very strategic thinker and stuff. But he seems very impatient for being a strategic person. Like, normally it goes along, like, strategy goes along with patience and waiting for the right moment. But and maybe, you know, I get Kuro's been waiting for 3 years, but at this point in time, he's just like, he's completely done waiting. And that just doesn't feel very strategic to me. But I kind of cut Whitney off. So Whitney, go ahead.
No, it was not important at all. You're going to be really upset.
Is anything you say?
We've talked a lot before about how it's kind of funny that every time somebody on the show does an interesting move or attack, they yell out the name of the attack first.
Uh-huh.
You know? And because, you know, and we talked about the Meowbin brothers being taken out, but Butchie survived
yep.
Zora's attack and gets hypnotized. I think it was in the last episode. And he gets these muscles. Because Zoro kind of fat shames him, which was rude. But, you know, he gets these muscles and kind of goes berserker mode. And he jumps at somebody. I can't remember who he jumps at. And he goes, "Catastrophe." And I was just like, I'm so glad they're staying on brand.
Gotta love some of the attack names and stuff like that, yeah, for sure.
I'm living for the Meowbin brothers. I love them so much. They're so fabulous.
Yeah, because the other one, like, we didn't see him get back up, but
no.
But yeah, the one did, and I can't remember his name, but I mean, and granted, he didn't last in the fight much longer. I mean, another hit and Zoro had him down again, so
yeah.
You know, that's just Zoro.
Maybe if you're dead, I don't know if they're dead or not, nobody else is.
I don't know that they ever say.
They just let you decide.
Yeah,
I'm choosing to believe they're still up there somewhere.
I'm sure they are, because nobody dies in One Piece.
Except for Mary.
Except for
Mary. You know, Mary's still bleeding out.
You see, yeah. That's exactly what's happening.
Infinity blood.
He's
holding on out of spite at this point.
He's out sitting on the swing, just chilling. You know, he probably has like a wrap or something on.
Giving
you know,
me soliloquy.
Yeah, you know, he took some Excedrin or something.
Putting on a play for those kids.
Exactly. Yeah, like using hand puppets or whatever.
He's giving the Gettysburg Address.
I love it. Any quotes, Amanda, you got any?
No, I think I just had we already talked about it earlier, the whole pussyfoot maneuver. It's just so silly. That God, sounds like it.
Gives me butterflies.
It sounds like a name for a horse, like one of those Kentucky horses.
Yeah. Yeah, that does. Now I need a Kentucky Derby winner that's called Pussyfoot Maneuver.
You know the horses that dance? Have you ever seen?
Yeah, I think it's like a dressage. That's what it is.
You need one of those and name it that.
There you go.
Yeah, Pussyfoot.
March. And that's the command when you want it to start.
Pussyfoot. Whitney, I know you had one earlier. Did you have any other quotes?
The only other one I had is not a funny one, but was a very nice ending to that last episode, because, you know, Kuro is talking about, I want away from this name. I'm tired of being chased and I want to start a whole new life. And Luffy, you know, I can't remember if he hits him or does, he throws a rock and gets some of the swords embedded in the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, don't want a reputation, then don't be a pirate. And I was like, that's a good point. I mean, if you're a pirate, people are going to look for you. You're breaking the law. You're doing bad things, usually.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have a bad name. And he's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of funny. You just stole my quote.
That's what you get for asking me first.
I know. I did actually. I continued it on just a little bit. And I went on with the next line, because he finishes it off. He says, you're just greedy, Kuro, but I have ambition. And that's kind of what I was talking about that earlier, while Kuro has definitely been established as, or, you know, it feels like he's been established as someone to be reckoned with in the pirate world, I'm not sure that he actually has been. And Luffy has already shown multiple times that he's got goals. Like, he wants to go somewhere, you know, all he does is talk about being king of the pirates in the Grand Line. And I'm not sure that Kuro has ever voiced any of that. Like, to say that Kuro, probably his entire motivation for doing everything is probably just greed, just selfish greed. And And Luffy, that's not the case. Like, it's where he wants to be. It's more of a status thing than it is like a personal possession thing for Luffy. I think, you know, he's got that ambition to be the best, to help himself grow, you know? So I think that really stood out a lot, you know, Luffy calling him out like that to me. But yeah, so we had the same quote, and that move of snapping Kuro's swords was awesome.
Yeah.
So lastly, any MVPs nominations? I just have one.
No, it's not Luffy. He slept through the whole day.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
I think, just my opinion. I have the same thought. I think Zoro probably. He was the most. I feel like he was the most active, and then at the end he ran off with Usopp. So.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be the most helpful person in this situation, I think.
See, Zoro's an interesting one. I was sitting there thinking about who I would give the nomination to. And Zoro kind of was in my mind. My nomination is actually going to be Kuro. I think that face that Whitney just gave me.
I can't hide my face. I'm sorry.
Don't get me wrong. I know Kuro is an absolute piece of shit, but the MVP is the most impactful person on this episode. And so, I mean, good or bad. And I think that Kuro really established himself in these five episodes. I think he kind of set himself apart from the other villains that we've seen. And he has been the first villain we've seen that Oda has written that's not really a joke. You know, Kuro has shown himself to be different. He's shown himself to be a very dark person. And like I said, he's actually been the first person to stand up to Luffy. So I think that he took these episodes for me. Like, just his establishment and like watching him now, it's like, whether you like him or not, he's got your eye every time he's on screen because you don't know what he's going to do.
That's a good argument. It didn't cross my mind to think of Kuro as the MVP, but I can see where you're coming from. And I can see where Amanda's coming from too, because Zoro did, when he was there, put up a good fight, and he ended up saving, you know, Usopp, because Usopp could not get up. It was like me getting out of bed in the morning. It took him like 5 minutes to get up.
Yeah.
He struggled so hard.
Yeah, because like Amanda said, I mean, Zoro did help Luffy whenever they first got there. Like, he did a big part in keeping the pirates at the bottom of the hill. He single-handedly took on the Miaobon brothers like three times, essentially. Mm-hmm. And as well, stopping that shot from getting to them with Usopp, and protecting Usopp and Nami in the process. Like, I can see Zoro as well. So now it comes down to who would we rather between Zoro and Kuro, or Whitney can actually be decisive for once and pick one.
For once.
Yeah.
Well, can I tell you where my mind went for this? And it was neither of those.
Okay. Sorry, you didn't give an answer earlier. You just said not Luffy. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. Luffy did good towards the end, but as far as this whole span of episodes, I think, you know, he got lost, he was asleep, he kept getting hypnotized, you know. As much as I hate to say it, not physically, but impactfully, Usopp made a pretty big contribution for all of this going down. He was kind of instrumental in, you know, the crew helping him and trying to convince Kaya that things were wrong. And even though he's kind of a goof, I guess you could say, and he's had the passive, like the boy who cried wolf thing. He, even when he was on the ground, he was still giving lip to Kuro, like, you are not going to do this. I'm not going to let you do this. And you're not going to this island. You will not go to my village. You will not make it up this hill. And I mean, even laying down about to die, he was still strong-willed about it and was trying to save his island or town or whatever it was. So to me, he kind of made a good contribution, but I don't know. You made a really good argument for Kuro because I was really invested in his story and where this was going to go. And he, you know, as scary as a cartoon can be, he was on the scarier side as far as how realistically evil he was.
Mm-hmm.
Even if his pussyfooting was a little fantastical, his attitude, there are real people that behave that way, that are like that. And yeah, that's really scary, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
This is a toughie.
Yeah. Yeah,
I had Usopp as was my runner up, but I can see the argument for Kuro as well. Should we have the audience decide? Could we do a poll or something?
We could do a poll.
Yeah, let's do a poll. You guys tell us what you think. Even if you don't agree, like, tell us who you think instead. If you think Kaya is the MVP, first of all, get the fuck out. But tell us either way.
For a second there, I thought that's where you were going when you were going to talk about this person. They didn't really do much. Like, I 100% thought you were leaning into Kaya. I was like, oh, Whitney.
You and Kaya were not friends.
Yeah, this is the first time, like, we've not been able to make a decision. Like, with Shanks and Shushu, it was pretty much, like, you know, an agreed upon thing. So yeah, this is definitely the first time where we have not been able to come to a conclusion.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will throw a poll up on Twitter and allow people to vote for who gets the MVP. I think you can do a poll on Twitter, right? Yeah, I think, do you know how many options you can get? Because I'm not even sure. I've never done a Twitter poll.
I've seen like four. So we could do the three that we suggested and then one other, and then people can write in other if they have someone else.
Gotcha. Okay. And then like
other.
And then like off of the other, you know, we can go based off of number of likes or whatever. We could do something like that. So yeah, I will post that on Thursday morning when this episode is released. So that way everyone can go vote on who the MVP is for this particular episode. And we will just go with that. We're going to have a lot of audience votes on this show. any final thoughts before we head out?
I'm just ready to see how this story ends.
Yeah, so same. I wasn't quite expecting it to keep going, but I'm glad it's continuing. I think it's a good flow so far. I haven't been like, oh, why isn't this over yet? So I would like to see how this wraps up.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of that, next week's episodes are 16 through 20. Yeah, 16 through 20. Yeah.
Watch them.
Yeah, definitely watch them. There's some really good episodes. I already watched them all last night, so I kind of knew what was coming. I noticed when I'm like sitting down taking my notes and stuff like that, like I'm pausing so much and everything to like write stuff down that I feel like I'm not getting a good grasp on what I'm feeling in certain parts because I'm stopping and going and stopping and going and stuff. So what I've kind of started doing is I'm watching the episodes twice. So like once I'm just sitting down and watching them and not taking any notes just to get an idea for the show, if I like the episodes or not, or, you know, what I'm thinking of certain situations. And then the second time I'll watch through and actually stop and take notes or whatever. So yeah, I've been watching them twice. So I already watched next week's episodes. So you can find the show on Twitter and Instagram at Going Merry Pod. Make sure, let us know if you're watching with us, you know, shoot us some tweets, send us messages on Instagram, all that jazz, you know, send us some questions and we can talk about them on the podcast as well. And then make sure leave us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. We are just getting started as a podcast. So, you know, all the ratings, it definitely helps us out a lot, helps us get our name out there as we get this thing going. So any feedback or 5-star ratings are very, very much appreciated. And again, Whitney, Amanda, any final thoughts or anything?
Just, you know, pussyfoot maneuver on out of here, I guess.
We will see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Found the fucking button this time.